Hello, I am Flula Borg, and it is now boom time! Today, comedian, actor, and musician man, Ed Helms.
Just a beautiful French ballad with an accordion.
Yeah, torch that accordion.
Yeah, and then just toss it off of a bridge.
Yes, I mean, warn people, there may be a wedding under, we don't know. You don't,
it was a great wedding until...
Until Ed Helms killed the bride.
With a flaming accordion.
Slide downer.
Today we discuss Ed's body of work, from The Daily Show to The Office to all three of his hangovers.
You have only had three hangovers in your life. Mm-hmm. I have been counting. I hit 77 2 days ago.
Let's see. We're talking about different hangovers. I think that we just have to call that out.
Oh.
Finally, Ed and I just jam out on a sassy musical collaboration. It is all happening right now on Boom Time. Howdy and doody to you living beings, and welcome to the most exciting time in your life right now. That is not another time like before or after. It's right now, and it's called Boom Time. Today is the most exciting moment because we are speaking with Ed Helms, a man, an actor, a musician, a human person that I like very, very much. But before we bring into the world Ed Helms, I first must warm up my brain with Alex, our producer and co-host of this wonderful show. How are you, Alex Simmons?
I think you didn't take a breath that entire time, and I'm worried your face is turning a little bit purple.
Yeah, I'm wearing red pants. I think I'm now twinsies with my pants.
Yeah, inhale and just breathe. Okay.
Whew. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was good. That was impressive.
There's much excitement happening. Edward is a wonderful man, and I'm so excited that we are speaking with him today.
Me too. It was a great conversation.
Well, before we get into and jump in and dive and jump and jive into this convo, will you warm our brains up, Alex?
Well, my brain is as warm as it can be, but your brain seems a little slow, so let's get it going, right?
Yes, my brain feels like an igloo at the moment.
So today's warm-up exercise is a play on what we've done before.
Oh.
We're going to take some of Ed's movies.
Wonderful.
And find their German translations, and then I'm going to say them in my very imperfect German and see if you know which movies they were.
Well, you are fluent with German and no accent, Alex, so I will understand you perfectly.
Thank you for that flattery disguised as condensation. Condensation?
It is one of...
It was dripping with condensation.
Yes. I'm sorry that I insulted you with a form of water, of H2O.
Shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay, here's an easy one just as an example.
Please. I hope it's sublime. Do you get it? Because sublimation is the form of going straight from a solid to a gas, and water can do this. Google it. Sorry, please continue.
Sorry, I'm just restarting. Every episode you do this at least once, right? I just have to kind of step back for a second. Oh, I've blacked out. I don't know where I am. And then I have to kind of come to again. I'm like, okay, Flula just blacked out my brain with something. And oh, I'm here. Okay.
I'm
back in Flula's house.
In your eyes, I saw you rebooting, just like an Apple 2GS. I think you just literally, the screen went out.
Yeah,
and then
that's what happened.
The black and white Apple appeared. And then the vroom, or what the Apple sound is.
I think it's especially difficult when I know what I'm about to say, and I expect that you're going to say something kind of in a zone of things, and then you say something that is behind me as far as the zone goes.
You think we are in the zone, auto zone, but actually I'm in the danger zone, and you are in the O zone.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Should we start?
Please.
Okay, so the first one.
Yes.
Here's the German translation of a show or TV series or movie that Ed Helms was a big part of.
Bring it.
Das Büro.
Oh, The Office.
Yeah.
Very good. Das Büro.
Büro.
Büro, yeah.
When I see the B and a U with an umlaut, that terrifies me.
Well, you immediately said the name of the horse / mule animal that carries items across the land.
Spanish donkey.
Yes, el burro.
Here's another one. So the tricky thing with a lot of these is that the German translations often include English words that give them away.
Yes.
So I'm going to take out one of those English words.
Take it out.
The second part of the title is... Wir sind die Griswolds.
Ach so, ja, wir sind die Griswolds. So welcome. So this would be one of the Lampoon Vacation films.
Vacation.
Oh, it's just Vacation.
With wir sind die.
Yeah, wir sind die Griswolds. Also we are the Griswolds.
We are the Griswolds.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's just called Vacation in English.
Yes.
But in German, it's called Vacation, We Are the Griswolds.
Well, they just changed the lyrics of We Are the World and then added Griswolds. And that is actually the theme song to the Vacation film in German.
Is that true?
That's very true, yes. Everyone was singing on it. Joe Cocker, Paul Rubens, Ruben Studdard. Everybody is singing on We Are the Griswolds.
Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens was there.
From Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, and also Playhouse.
The next one?
Please.
Wer ist Daddy?
Wer ist Daddy? Yeah, who is Daddy? Oh, this would be father figures.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just reading a film, you know, wonderful Ed Helms films, yeah. Starring Owen Wilson.
Yeah,
Owen Wilson and also Edward Helms.
Owen Wilson. Okay, here's one. You ready?
Yeah.
Catch me, exclamation point.
Catch me?
Catch me.
So after,
that's what Germans called it, not what it's called in English.
Oh, I know it. Tag. Right. This is why it's confusing. I'm now thinking the word for day in German is T-A-G.
Right.
So if you had a word, a game called Tag, it would just be if you guys said day.
Come down to the movie theater and watch Ed Helms' new movie, Day.
Day, yeah.
About a day.
Yeah, it's the most boring of the movies.
Okay, last one.
Yes.
Again, I'm taking out the very first word. It's, because it's an English word that'll give it away, but it's blank, der Nacht zu Haus lebt.
Der Nacht zu Haus lebt?
Blank, comma, der Nacht zu Haus lebt.
Der Nacht, is it Nacht, like naked, or N-A-C-H-T?
N-O-C-H?
Nacht.
No.
Der noch. Oh, say it one. Again, oh, this is why this... Jeff, who lives at home. Der noch zu Hause lebt. Yeah, yeah.
The difficulty level of this game is upped by the fact that I don't speak German.
Yes, that is what makes it a challenge and also a fun time.
Are you feeling...
being honest.
Are we being honest?
Yes.
Okay. How's your brain? Is it feeling warmed up?
From 0 to 2, it feels like a Kevlar.
From 0 to 2. Yeah. That's your scale.
That's my scale. Yeah, it feels above this.
So... on a scale of 0 to 2, it's Kevlar.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Alex, for this very great warm-up. I feel ready. I don't know why I said it like this. Okay. So I'm excited. You are excited. We are getting ready to speak with Edward Helms. Herr Helms has had a very impressive career and continues to make very great films and shows and all the things. He has been in over 2 dozen movies. Dozen.
That's correct. That is how you pronounce it.
Ed was a mainstay on the American version of The Office, and he had 3 hangovers, which added up to over $1 billion. I still don't understand how that happened. I've had way more hangovers than this, and nobody paid me any dollars for those.
I'll explain it to you later.
Oh.
I think you still seem a little lost on this subject.
Yeah, this copy is very confusing that I'm reading. Oh, and also, Ed has another very sassy thing to share with us. His creative outlet of banjo music and banjo playing and country bluegrass. It's we have to stop. My brain is done.
Yeah, we have to stop the intro and get into the conversation before you have a total malfunction of all your...
yes.
Body parts.
It's all happening right now on...
boom, 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 boom.
Time!
All right.
Yeah?
I'm really comfy here.
Are you?
Yeah, I feel good. Okay. I got my LaCroix.
LaCroix.
Pamplemousse.
Mr. Helms, I have a question for you. Do you know what time that it is right now?
I'm going to guess around... wait a minute. It's something tells me you're not looking for an o'clock. It's more like flula time.
Oh, you are so close, I can sneeze.
Okay.
It's bump time!
Whoa!
Yes.
All right.
I just made this, I made some soda spill just then. That was excellent. Mr. Helms, welcome to Boom Time.
Thank you.
We're very excited to have you here. As you know, we have met before in the histories of life.
Mm-hmm.
When you are making a very great sassy film, Jeff Comer, Who Lives at Home.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not hate me then. And I'm very relieved to know that your hatred has at least stayed at the same level.
Yeah. I have not hated you. Ever since then.
That is wonderful. That's the most I can say of all my relatives.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel very good.
For people that don't know, Flula has a habit of sort of hijacking press junkets. And I believe he hijacked the press junket for Jeff, Who Lives at Home. But I do think your strategy is you're doing a press junket all day. You get asked the same questions over and over again.
Yeah.
And you know, you're doing your job as a good soldier to give your best answer, but it hopefully is refreshing when someone comes in and just gives it a little bit of a different take.
Yeah, I was thrilled when you showed up in the junket because you were such a bizarre energy. I had no idea what was going on. You were sort of screaming at me in a very harsh accent and asking me to make funny sounds for your techno song, and I obliged, mostly out of just kind of confusion and fear. Then I saw the final product, which was a marvelous little dance track that you made with me and Jason Siegel and Susan Sarandon and whoever else, maybe the Duplass brothers.
They were there.
And it was fantastic.
Thank you. I'm glad what you have channeled, mainly the fear, is kind of what drives my entire life. It's just fear and confusion. Mm-hmm. So I'm very glad I was able to send this also to you and that you caught it like a basketball shooting into the sky.
Good.
So, Mr. Hems, I will be asking you some hardcore questions. The hardcore, so there are six of them. I want to also be clear, sex is the German word for six.
Mm-hmm, okay. And
we chose this because fear is a German word for four, but that sounds like we are going to talk about terrorism and IEDs.
Okay.
So we don't want to do this. So we have stuck with sex,
okay,
and we're just going to shoot them at you,
okay,
and you may react and respond however that you like.
Great.
Mr. Hems, you are from, if I'm correct, Hotlanta?
Correct.
Why do you not live now in Hotlanta, given that it is a great city?
Sure. Have you been to Hotlanta?
I have, and it is, as the name tells you, H-O-T.
It's H-A-W-T.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
you're referring to the sassy music world.
Hot.
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. So here's the deal. I love heat. I love things that are just extremely hot.
Ah.
Right now, Los Angeles is 119,000 degrees.
Yes.
And so I feel at home here. Atlanta... also very hot, but I don't know that I've ever been this hot as I am in Los Angeles right now.
I embraced you as you entered this room, and you were the heat, the temperature of a delicious biscuit,
right?
I would say, like fresh out of the where are biscuits made? I don't know, but it's...
Some sort of kiln.
Yes, yes.
I felt like, I feel, just walking outside, I can feel my body hardening like a piece of clay.
Yes. Yeah, you look like a very sassy vase, I would like to tell you. Yes.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Hems, you are from this place, Atlanta, but when I put on my accent detection equipment, I do not hear any yowls or your G's. I hear them pronounced so deep and tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had before a little southy accent?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in the city of Atlanta, which is a pretty cosmopolitan city, but my mom was from Tennessee, and my dad is from Alabama, and they both had pretty strong accents, and so I grew up with an accent. It was never extreme, but it was always just kind of like there, and I would just sort of talk like this maybe a little bit, but it wasn't like full on, you know, crazy southern accent.
Yes.
Come on, man. Freedom Rock. Turn it up.
I love
this. I was never quite that far. Actually, Freedom Rock is more of a hippie guy. You remember those commercials?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Hey, man. Is that Freedom Rock? Turn it up.
Yeah, like a folding chair and a kind of creepy van.
Oh,
like,
what is this?
Tie-dye shirt. It's an old, it was an old infomercial for an album called Freedom Rock, which had... Buffalo Springfield and all the great 60s classic freedom rock songs.
Oh, so it's like jock jams, but good music?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's the hippie jock jams.
Hippie answer
to jock jams.
To jock jams, yes.
To jock jams.
Jock jams, yeah.
It played for years, though, so I think anyone between 20 and 50 has that infomercial just ingrained
into just
their
that
brain.
Little section of that.
Just that part. I don't remember
that
the
hippie's
rest of it.
Like,
yep.
Hey man, is that Freedom Rock? Turn it up.
This is a real thing. This is real.
Oh yeah, you can Google it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Yeah, so I had an accent, and it's funny. My wife was just teasing me about it and asking me about it. Because she was also like, why don't you have a stronger accent? And I have old VHS tapes of plays that I was in high school, and it's like a serious heavy Arthur Miller play, but I'm talking like this. It's like the Southern Arthur Miller play.
Oh, yes.
Shakespeare. Yeah.
All my sons, whatever.
All my sons.
All my sons. Yeah. 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 Oh, and we did, yeah, there was Shakespeare and all of it. We did all of it.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Alex is from Idaho. And so he has one word that when he says it, I know this is not a man from Canoga Park. And it is, he says the word, well, say it. When you need to find out how long is a fish, what do you do?
It's hard because when I know I you have know to say it, then I say it. But wait, oh, when I have to find a fish?
How long was that fish you found in the street?
I have to measure it.
Measure.
Measure. He
measure
doesn't,
is
he
what
knows.
I say.
Yeah, but he says measure all the time.
But is that an Idaho thing? My wife's from Idaho. She doesn't say that.
Well, he has a best friend who also one time I was like, hey, how long are your fishes? And he's like, I don't know. Let me measure. And I looked at Alex and we both, I mean, immediately I saw this was.
It's really only in with regards to fish.
Only
the
fish.
Size of fish.
You only
where in Idaho are you from?
Northern Idaho, the Panhandle.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moscow. Idaho.
All right.
Moscow,
cool. The Idaho. University.
There you go.
Of Idaho.
The Vandals.
Yeah.
Really, the Vandals?
The Vandals.
Yeah.
What does it? Why?
You should go. It's covered in graffiti. The whole place.
It's just. Is your mascot just two men shaking spray paint cans?
Yeah. With shaking spray paint cans with a Nordic helmet on top.
This is an odd combination.
Combination. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of Nordic people in Northern Idaho.
That's up there, man.
Yeah,
it is. Wait, so this was my question. So measure is his, oh, someone's not from here. Yeah. Do you have a word sometimes that like you will say?
Well, a lot of people from the South will, we put a little bit of a different emphasis on words sometimes. So, and the most common thing is to put a heavier emphasis on the first syllable of a word. Whereas other people don't. So,
cupcake.
So a good example would be umbrella. Like I say umbrella. Most people say umbrella. Or insurance. Or most people say insurance. I say insurance.
Insurance.
But even without an accent, I still say insurance. Just reflexively. Those are little giveaways, little tells. But really, the funny thing is I didn't consciously lose my accent. I went to college in Ohio, which is very neutral accent-wise. And then I moved to New York City, and I've always had a very good ear, kind of I'm very musically inclined, and my ear is very kind of I've always been a good mimic. And so I think without even thinking about it, just subconsciously, I kind of like if I moved to England, I would be that asshole who moved back and was like, "Hey guys, I can't help it. I just talk like this now. I just, you know, it's like it just happened. Sorry."
So do you fight this when you are in other places to not become the person?
I do. I have to really think if I'm speaking to somebody who has a non-American accent. I have to struggle not to start duplicating them. It's super awkward, and it kind of interferes with the flow of my language a little bit. I'm not as articulate, but I don't know why I have this impulse to kind of mimic and sound like wherever I am.
Have you done this with me in any case before?
All the time.
Yeah,
I do it all the time. No, I have to. I do have to not.
Please do it.
I have to think consciously not to talk like you.
Please do it.
I can't even do a good German accent.
No, it's great. Yeah, you can't offend me. That's impossible.
You can't. It is empirically impossible to tell a story about Flula and then not try to do some version.
Yeah,
of
you got your punchline is going to be in Flula's voice.
It has to be that way. Yes, yes, yes.
But I remember I was traveling when I was in my early 20s. I was in Panama.
The country.
Yeah. And rural Panama, like kind of out in the jungle. And there was some, I was talking with somebody who asking directions or something, and they spoke a tiny bit of English. And so they're kind of speaking very broken English to me. And then I start responding to them in broken English with a Hispanic accent. And my brother like whacks me on the back of the head. And I was like, what? What are you doing? And he was like, what are you doing? You sound like an asshole. Stop doing that. And I was like, oh, I was really just trying to kind of meet this person halfway and find the words we had in common, but it is offensive. Like, it's kind of a weird, because it's unconscious.
Yes.
It's like
it's coming from a good place. It's human nature. You're trying to connect with someone. You're trying to communicate with them. So you weren't doing that to make fun of them.
No, not at all. But there are lots of things that we do out of ignorance that we should know better than.
Yes.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what so much of our culture difficulty right now is like, we should know better than a lot of the stuff we do.
So, Mr. Hens, I've been doing some deep, deep researches,
mm-hmm.
and I found that you are very much an anomaly in society, in that you, from what we have understood, have only had 3 hangovers in your life. Mm-hmm. I have been counting. I hit 77 2 days ago.
Mm.
So I would like to know, what is your secret?
Let's see. We're talking about different hangovers. I think that we just have to call that out. Well, I have been in 3 hangover movies, which had nothing to do with actual hangovers, which it sounds like you're describing.
Yes, I'm speaking of how many liquors, too many liquors, slow down the train,
right?
Tender of the boar.
Uh-huh.
You are...
Less Jägermeister.
Yes,
for
please.
Flula.
Boom time! Boom time! Boom!
Shaving with Harry's is so fantastic. The scent of the shaving gel makes me want to do the running man with the school of dolphins. And the shave is so smooth, it feels like I'm in a room full of relaxing jazz saxophonists. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they've created a trials offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/boomtime. Harry's delivers a super close and comfortable shave at a fair price, and if you don't love your shave, just let Harry's know within 30 days and they shall give you a full refund. Oh, yes. The trial offer includes everything you need for a nice, smooth shave. A very wonderful handle, a 5-blade razor, some tasty lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of Boomtime can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/boomtime. So visit harrys.com/boomtime to redeem your offer and let them know Flula sent you, as this helps to support Boomtime.
Question number, who knows? If you read almost any movie that you've been in the last 10 years, half the time you're described as an everyman.
Hmm.
But what's really cool, I think, about what you've done is that you're an everyman, but there's always something else. It's never, he's just the straight man reacting to other crazy people. You often end up being the craziest person, but right. Like outwardly, you're the everyman. And I'm wondering if that's just happened because of organic luck, or if you've leaned into, actually, that character sounds like a little more interesting or a little more like what would fit for me playing that kind of thing.
I have to say, you know, the shape that a career takes for an actor is only moderately controlled by that actor. At least in my case, I can't speak for others, but I know that it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm super proud of my career. I'm super proud of just about everything I've done and been in. And yet I often have thought, this is so funny, but sometimes I think I'm miscast as a dorkier person than I am. And I'm kind of like, well, when am I going to get some cool parts? Because that's really kind of who I am. Like, I'm really more of a cool guy than like a dork.
Right.
And then, you know, I get offered another sort of dorky part. And I'm like, you know what? I'll make this character cool. And then we start working on it. And then what becomes clear is that, like, I am a dork because all my instincts just start coming out. And the characters become sort of who they are. It's almost this thing outside of me. I'm very deliberate in terms of how I approach comedy and what I'm trying to and how I'm trying to make something funny and the way I think about it. But I'm sometimes surprised by the results. Like I don't always connect the dots between who I am and what I'm doing on screen. It's a confusing thing.
So in your mind, you should be getting like Tom Cruise style Mission Impossible roles, but instead they're coming with, you know, Andy Bernard from The Office. Yeah. Like, I don't, where are they getting that from?
Well, so I don't think I should be getting Tom Cruise parts, to be clear.
It is interesting how other people see.
Well, yeah, right? and it's I think saying I should be getting a certain part is kind of a presumptuous thing. I should be getting whatever parts I get. That's all there's nothing else to no other way to kind of read that. But as far as what I kind of the way I perceive myself is maybe, you know, somewhere between Andy Bernard and Tom Cruise, somewhere on that continuum.
Well, like Andy Bernard is a great character because you first meet him and you're like, oh, there's just this annoying guy. And there's a version of that character that just one note annoying all the time. But then as that show progressed, he definitely was an onion. Like there was a lot of different things that character, you know, different ways it went and different levels of him. And it was like, so that's what I meant, you know.
Right.
The appearance often is like everyman Ed Helms, but then almost always it's like, but not really, you know. It's like it's something else just below the surface there.
Yeah, Andy's. I mean, he's just. I loved that character so much. It was so fun. To work on that show, and I had a deep love of Andy and like tremendous compassion for him because he was so. Steeped in denial and kind of just there was so much he wouldn't admit to himself.
Oh yes.
And I relate to that. I mean that's an extreme version of me. I mean I think all of us kind of tell. I mean I was just doing it by telling you I think I'm a cooler guy than I really am. But like we kind of we write these narratives of who we are and who we think we are and reality is never quite what we think.
Yeah,
and certainly the way other people perceive us is never quite the way we perceive ourselves. That's very, I'm tuned into that in myself a lot, and it's a struggle to sort of, I don't know, strive for authenticity and to be a genuine person. And Andy is he was a way for me to kind of exercise that demon in an extreme way.
Yeah.
It's also poignant. It's very sad to me when somebody's that detached from who they really are or from how they're really perceived. And so my heart kind of broke for Andy
totally.
In a way that, I wanted him to win and I wanted him to have at least some victories in his life story. And that I think is what, where you feel the heart of Andy is
totally.
Is in how me as the actor, I really wanted him to win and I wanted him to have some happiness here and there. That was a really cool thing about that show early on is that the writers and the cast were so in tune with each other. So and the writers were on set a lot. So a lot of times that's very separated, but on The Office, especially those first couple of years, there was so much cross-pollination. We all hung out a lot and we talked about our characters a lot. And then when I first started, I was improvising a bunch and I would just kind of endow Andy with some weird tic or trait.
Like what?
Like singing all the time.
Yeah.
I think inappropriate singing is really
it's
funny.
The best. Yes.
It's a go-to for me. Although the acapella was from the writers. That was the first, that comes out in like Andy's very first appearance that he was in Here Comes Treble.
Yes.
So they gave me that little gift and I built on that with more singing.
Oh, yes.
But there were so many subtle things. There are things that I would do or that other actors would do with their characters that we wouldn't even realize. They're just unconscious things, but then the writers would amplify in some way. And then you realize, oh, cool, this really is a neat little just sort of symbiotic feedback loop of creativity and development. And it just makes the characters and the world that much more nuanced and rich.
I have a question about your singing. Mm-hmm. So before we have met in person, I remember Andy very much. And when you were singing, you go a little freestyle, I would say. And it feels to me, when I was in the shower singing lots of grunge, Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots, are these people that touched your styles, or are you from another world? Because I feel it a little like an Eddie Vedder flavors.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Elton John a little bit sometimes too.
Like, I think some R&B, yeah. I like singers who kind of indicate their pitch with their hand.
Oh, I like when you're the moving. Yeah. The moving.
You know, when they're sort of raising and lowering their hand as they raise and lower their voice.
Ed's raising and lowering his hand just for his
while that happened. Yes.
Yeah. It's like your hand is like a musical staff.
Oh, yes.
Kind of going up and down.
What are those instruments where you play with your hand?
A theremin.
Theremin, yeah.
Like a theremin, yeah.
Very much, I am a human theremin.
I love this.
I'm a Hume theremin.
A human, yep.
They're human.
Humartathlip.
Boom time!
When you were a child, what was young Ed Helms' ideal dream role for adult Ed Helms? What did you dream? Oh, this would be the dopest.
Well, when I was very young, the dopest was I wanted to be an astronaut, which I think a lot of kids want to be. But I had this really cool children's book from NASA that I was obsessed with, and I wanted to be an astronaut. At some point, also while I was very young, I realized that I'm not terribly claustrophobic. Like, I can get in elevators and ride elevators, but I could not sit in a capsule for like a week. That I would lose my shit. And so I realized that at a young age, and I was like, guess I can't be an astronaut. And then when I very young, like probably around 8 years old, my friend Nick and I would stay up late and watch Saturday Night Live. And I feel like this is such a cliche. So many comedians have this exact same story. But I was obsessed with Saturday Night Live before I even understood what was going on the show. That was when Joe Piscopo was on and Martin Short, Christopher Guest, and
Eddie Murphy.
And they just captured my imagination. Their energy was so intoxicating to me. And again, I probably got a tenth of the jokes, but they just looked like they were having so much fun. And from that point on, I just wanted to do comedy. I wanted to be in comedies.
Was there a scene or a sketch from those SNLs that you're like, this is the one that got me so much? Like, for me, there was a trilogy of Phil Hartman, two other people, but it's they're singing The Little Drummer Boy. But it's with Frankenstein, Tonto, and Tarzan.
Oh my God, it's amazing. That is an epic one. There are so many sketches I can point to. I mean, Phil Hartman's Caveman Lawyer.
Oh, Unfrozen.
I loved anything Eddie Murphy did. I just loved. Black History Minute was incredible. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
They would do these short films.
The bus.
Yeah, the where he goes undercover as a white guy. We need to be playing that culturally again. Like, please. That needs to be on a continuous loop in the White House right now.
Boom, 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 boom.
Time! So I've read that you enjoy three parts harmonies, Ed. Is this true?
Yes.
If I give...
Sure, who doesn't?
I have a request. If I just create a note, will you help me to harmonize with this note?
Absolutely.
Great.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Oh, perfect. I'll give a beat and then the note, and then I will let you just take it over hardcore.
Okay.
I didn't recognize those lyrics. What is that? What was that based on?
That was a very visceral expression of emotion. What you could call it, sort of a scat solo, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I'm very bad at remembering words.
Same.
Also. So I mean, I'm like really bad.
At least you're not an actor or someone who needs to do that.
No,
you know what's funny? I don't have a problem with dialogue.
Yeah.
I really can learn dialogue very quickly.
But lyrics.
But song lyrics, forget about it. It's so hard for me to lock in song lyrics. I can learn a melody and I can hear a melody once and I can repeat it like all the way through. But I lyrics, yeah, they just don't stick in my brain.
I actually
It's
agree.
The most frustrating thing in my life.
That is it?
I think that's one of the most frustrating things in my life, yeah.
I want it to be the most. I would love this very much if it's like there's a ranking and that's...
Well, no, it bothers me all the time because I would probably be... Like, I might have veered into music if I could remember song lyrics.
Well,
like,
that might have been my career. You have veered into music.
I mean, I do music, but I dabble. Yeah. I'm like sort of a... I'm an extensive dabbler,
yeah.
But I can't. I would do more if I could retain song lyrics.
That's the reason.
I think I would do more. Yeah,
yeah. I love this.
Even songs that I write, and I've written lots of songs. If I don't drill them, they don't stay in my brain.
They are gone.
Yeah.
And you would say most of the musics that you make are bluegrass. Is this correct or
yeah.
am I incorrect?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, bluegrass, a sort of like folky bluegrass. It's a big umbrella.
Umbrella. Okay.
Well, so you have a band called the Lonesome Trio.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a clip from one of your songs right now.
In the bottom, I see your smile. I just want to drink a little. A little while, hold on, everything's fine. Can't you hear the words I'm saying this time?
When you guys play live, can you remember the lyrics? What, how's that work out for you?
It's not uncommon for me to blank on stage or to mix or to like mix up verses or to like I'm sort of It's almost like a dyslexia, a form of dyslexia, like auditory dyslexia, because
you're flipping verses.
Yeah, I flip. I'll mix. I'll do like a phrase here that belongs there, and it becomes a mess. It becomes an incoherent mess, and sometimes it makes me panic, and then I can't remember any words, and I will just make up words, or I'll sort of start. Scatting kind of, and a lot of times people have no idea,
right?
But I know, my bandmates know, and it's
and now we know,
and now you know, and now the world knows.
Everybody knows
now, all Flula fans know.
I have a solution for you. When you start to forget, just say, "Hey crowd, everybody, let's do it," and then put the microphone to the crowd.
There you go,
and just wait.
I mean, that's not a very rootsy thing to do.
That's not rootsy,
but yeah, that's more of like a
Bootsy.
Metal.
I feel like they might catch on if it's every song.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're like, "Hey, we bought tickets to watch you do this. Yeah. Why are you making us do this?"
Boom, 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 boom.
Time. Are you tired of pavement and dirt and grass and mud poodles? Introducing the sky. The sky is the thing that you see when you just look up a little bit. It can be full of some clouds or some drizzlings, or just it can be blue. Why is it blue? I don't know. Google it. Anyway, yes, the sky. Stare at it today. Unless there is an eclipse and you are looking at the sun, then use those glasses, or make like a secret eclipse viewing device from like a box of cereal or something. I don't know. Google this also. Anyway, see you soon. Purchase it. The sky. Visit the skies today and let the sky know Flula sent you. Yes. Okay.
Mr. Helms, we have a series of questions I would like to ask you. But before we do it, I'm going to create a scape sound, soundscape for you to just...
Escape sounds.
Escape sounds. Escape sounds. Basically, lots of screaming.
A soundscape of escaping.
Wall. Yes. So this is just to kind of get you excited about
okay.
the songs.
Great. Let's do it.
Mr. Helms, these questions are... this idea has been developed by me, but I stole it directly from James Lipton from Behind the Backstage, or what
okay.
it's called. And he stole it from a French person who is now Bernard Pivot, and that he stole it from, I don't know, someone. I'm going to ask you questions. The rule is you cannot think. You must answer these questions immediate. And it's fine. If the answer is wrong and you change in 5 seconds, totally okay.
Okay.
Are you prepared?
No. But do it.
Okay, great. Here we go. Name a movie you did enjoy as a child.
Ghostbusters.
One or two?
Both.
Oh, okay, great. With the boat. The boat is there.
But the question was a movie, so I would just stick with Ghostbusters.
Sorry, incorrect.
The first one.
That's my fault. So yeah. Sorry about that. What is your favorite way to not eat a potato?
To stare at it quizzically.
With chives?
With what?
Are chives involved?
In not eating a potato?
Yes.
Would I suppose I could eat chives while not eating a potato.
Okay, yeah. That was going for that. Excellent. Okay, perfect. Who would be the worst banjo player of all time if they decided, I'm going to play the banjo, guys?
Gosh, Burt Reynolds?
Okay, I would have also accepted Mikhail Gorbachev.
Okay.
Just from another continent.
Right.
Okay. If you could be a master player of one instrument that you do not already play sassily, what would it be?
Accordion.
Accordion?
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by the accordion.
Is there a song that you would like to learn on the accordion and then you would be like, I'm setting my accordion on fire, I just did it?
Yeah. La Vie en Rose.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Just a beautiful French ballad with an accordion.
Yes, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, torch that accordion afterwards.
And then just toss it off of a bridge.
Yes, I mean, warn people. There may be a barge.
No.
There may be a wedding underneath.
Right.
We don't know.
You don't, right.
Nobody knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a great wedding until Bride was...
Till Ed Helms killed the bride
with a flaming accordion.
Slide downer. Very important. Bleh or bleh?
Wait. Oh.
Bleh. Okay, excellent. What is the highest number of Krispy Kreme donuts you have consumed in one time? And I've seen on Instagram at least 4, I noticed at one point, that you have done.
Yeah, I think it's 11.
11?
Yeah.
Do you know the time span?
Oh, yeah, it was within about, 15, 20 minutes.
That's wonderful. Hot now?
Hot now?
Were they hot now? Or were they...
No, they were not hot.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. What quality do you most admire in the tasseled wobbegong?
I don't know what that is.
It's a dolphin. It's a shark. It's one of the shark-nosed dolphins.
The tasseled wobbegong?
Yes.
What quality do I admire most?
The most, yeah.
Well, I would imagine that they're very elegant swimmers.
You've seen, yeah.
I haven't seen them. Oh, I don't know what they are, but if they live in the water, then like most fish or sea creatures, I envy how kind of fluid and easy they are in the water.
I will send you an animated GIF.
Okay.
Of an animated GIF. In what desert would you most like to eat a southern dessert? So, for example, apple cobbler. I won't tell you what desert, but it could be a cobbler.
Sure. In which desert? Well, I love the Mojave. It's beautiful.
My mama calls it the Mojave.
Sure.
That's just German's
saying. The Mojave.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah.
What is your favorite foreign word, Mr. Helms?
Oh, Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did I get that right?
You did. That was. I would have accepted many other words for the record, but I was just very flattered.
Okay. I also like the word Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
Yeah.
Good word. Yeah. Yes. Location. And also, I think it's part of the lower arm as well.
Mm-hmm.
In certain countries.
Yeah. Iceland. Thank you very much, Mr. Helms. This has been Boom Time.
Hey, thank you. This has been a blast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks,
seriously, guys.
Yeah.
A pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Boom Time.
Boom Time.
Boom Time. Boom Time. Boom Time. Boom Time. Boom.
Bebopper Flula. What a great conversing with Ed Helms this was. I learned so many items of truth and fiction and triction, which is both truth and fiction. What did you enjoy the most about our speaking, Alex?
You know, they say that truth is stranger than fiction, but triction is the most strange of all.
Because no one has heard this word. I've never heard this word.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist. That's why it's so weird.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, great.
We just solved one of the mysteries of the universe. Oh. Why is Trixion so strange? Because it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Write this in your next book, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay, it's time for footnotes. Are you ready?
I am.
Boom.
Foot, foot, foot.
It's notes for your feet!
So, in the conversation, Ed brought up the infomercial from 1987 called Freedom Rock.
Oh, boy.
And it's funny that this is, I think, growing up in Germany, you miss some of these cultural touch points that if you grew up here, they're just ingrained in your brain.
Yes, I missed this.
So here's a clip from it.
Hey, man, is that Freedom Rock?
Yeah, man.
Well, turn it up, man.
Lord, I was born man, man.
What is confusing is the acting is so terrible. Like, is it a... Why? Why is it so terrible?
So that's the good question. That's the footnote. Basically, these were filmed in 1987 in Colorado Springs, and there are these, they got these two local radio DJs to come pretend like they were hippies from the 60s. They weren't actors, and they didn't really know exactly what they're doing. They just, one guy said he was pretending to be high, but anyway, so it's these two radio DJs who were driven out to the woods with a van, and they
that's not filmed starting this. Good so far. Oh, okay,
go well on. And then they made a very famous info commercial, which they were paid $700 for.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is so bad. I encourage all the people to search, what do you search? Freedom Rock?
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah, it's great.
It is
or
great.
So bad, as you described.
Yeah.
Nouns. Foot, foot, foot.
Wow. Okay.
Footnote number two.
Yes, please.
So this one comes from a viewer named Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris.
And Chris writes in on Instagram a fun fact about the German version of Die Hard. Which was called what again?
Also, stirb langsam.
Yeah, die slowly.
Slow, yes, right. Die slowly.
So he points out that Hans Gruber's character in the German version was actually named Jack Gruber.
Jack Gruber. Jack Gruber?
No, he just said Jack.
Oh, of course, because in the film, they would not really say he's German, probably. He's just bad guy Thomas.
Right.
You know, bad or Jack. Guy Jack, yeah. Jack Gruber.
Right. Which is funny, it's more like American almost, right?
There are no German Jacks that I'm knowing.
Right.
So, yes.
Probably because everyone in Germany is named Hans, they didn't want to imply that all of Germans are terrorists, maybe?
Maybe, perhaps. I mean, I will tell you, I actually...
Sorry,
I will tell you, they are not so...
Is that offensive?
No.
To say that there's a lot of Germans named Hans?
It is inaccurate, Alex.
Inaccurate that there are...
I would say Hans is not... There are more Alexes in America than Hanses in Germany. Maybe some Hanses are like from the... You know what? The film is old. So
yeah.
Children that are born like in 40s and 50s
right.
are named Hans.
Right.
But nobody wakes up and says, oh, baby, I call you Hans today in 2018.
Right. Hans is like Arthur or Ernest
well,
in
like,
America.
Yeah, like yeah. Carl here. Like, there are no like
Carl.
Baby Carls. Yeah.
I like the name Carl. I think they should bring it back. It's amazing how... names get brought back.
I was watching what it's called Hard Knock School, which is about the NFL football Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And they are
it's a great show. It's amazingly well done.
Wonderful show. And there's a coach that is making the fun of a player whose name is Carl Nassib. And he's like, Carl, who like looks at the baby and says, oh, good day to you, baby. I shall call you Carl.
Right. So you're saying if there was a German version of Hard Knocks about some German soccer team and a guy's name was Hans, the German version of that coach would be making fun of him
yeah.
for being called Hans.
Yes.
And
yes.
so that's why in 1980, whatever, the German version of Die Hard, they're like, we can't call him Hans.
Too many Hanses. Like right now, like if you, there are no Heinrichs. Like there's a few, but not so many.
Right.
You know? But my great uncle is Heinrich.
Right.
You know, and so no one says Heinrich today.
And if he was in Die Hard, they'd have to change his name to like Steve.
Yeah, Hank.
Yeah.
Or like Tommy Thompson. Anyway, okay, great. And are we more footnoting? Are there more footnotes?
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Then we must play this song.
It's notes for your feet!
Okay, great. Oh, I forgot to say it. If there are more footnotes, please tweet us. Or is it tweeting is a good one?
Yeah, just get on the internet and just hit some keys or
yeah.
trackpads or...
All of those. Yeah, some mousies.
Tell Siri to do something. I don't know.
At Boomtime Show. Tell Siri...
That's your most energetic call to action I've ever
yeah.
heard. Just tell Siri... like you lost the will to live halfway through telling people to tweet us and ask us things.
I'm sorry. That was like Johnny number five after a full day of chasing those robots.
Hold on. Flula, take a sip of this caffeine real quick.
Please, I will. I shall. Okay,
okay. Hold on. Flula's just, he's guzzling a nitro cold brew.
Mm.
He just drank five of them.
Woot, 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 woot.
You back?
Tweet us at Boomtime Show or Instagram or any other thing you like.
Great.
Booyah.
That's better.
Wonderful.
Mail from a fanatic.
Oh!
Fan mail. Great. Heather Maddalena writes, Flula, if you was ever selected to represent Germany in Eurovision, what would your song be about, and would it have sassy dance moves? Okay, Heather, number one, for people that don't know, Eurovision is every year, all of the countries of Europe, they are selecting a band or a musician and one song, and they are performing, and it is a nice long contest, and then somebody is winning the Eurovision contest. And sometimes it is a German, usually no, but it is always a very fun thing. One time it was Gildo Horn, and Gildo Horn was a strange, bald German man, and his song was just Piep, 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 Gildo hat euch lieb, which is Piep, 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 Gildo is loving you. And he won.
The whole thing?
Actually, I cannot remember. This is another footnote.
It's fine.
But he was there. Anyway, so if I was in Eurovision, what would I sing? Heather, I would not sing. I would sing an original song. It would be a song about, I think, just calories, because I love them very much. Like just like warm calories, like a brownie or something, or perhaps like a warm Linzertort. And in the US, or would there be sassy dance moves? I mean, hello, do bears enjoy grizzly?
A song about warm calories.
Yes, you know?
Do bears enjoy grizzly?
Sorry, I'm very much just losing.
Yeah, drink some more caffeine.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on, Flula's. He's got an IV now, and he's putting the nitro cold brew.
I'm back, Heather, with a better answer. If I were to represent Germany in Eurovision, yes, I would make a wonderful song. It would be about my most favorite of the candies, marzipan, which is crushed almonds and sugars. And then I would make sassy dance moves, but I would also create backup dancers solely made of crushed almonds and sugars. They would be my marzipanzers, which are dancers made of marzipan. Does that answer the question?
That was so much better.
Oh, thank you.
No, listeners, pretend you didn't hear that first answer.
We delete it. Yeah, delete it in your mind. Wonderful. Yeah. That was our fan mail.
Marzipanzers.
Marzipanzers.
I like it.
Okay, good. I don't know if they're Marziprancers.
Oh.
Trademark. Okay, thank you once more again to Ed Helms, to me, Flula, and to you, Alex Simmons. You can see Ed in several wonderful projects that have come out in the recent times, such as Tropoquidic, Freie Phase Figure, Tag, and also a futile and also stupid gesture.
Also a futile and also a stupid gesture.
Yes, were those two separate
things? That's the German translation.
Yes, it is. It is. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And also of humans.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
We have a phone call. Who is it? Let us see who it is. Hello. Welcome to Boom Time with Alex and Flula. Who is this?
Stop it.
We cannot stop it. We are recording right now, David.
Oh, hello, everybody. Flula, wonderful to hear your voice. I'm so glad I caught you guys during a live taping of Boom Time, or at least the taping of Boom Time. What is today's episode, may I ask?
Yeah, today we are speaking with Edward Helms, a man of acting and music and just being a lovely person.
Okay, listen. I'm not down with you guys going above me on IMDb like that. That is, I was told you weren't going to get any bigger than David Gentile this year, and maybe it was the implicit understanding, but I am now very threatened.
I feel like you have caught both Alex and I wearing a collared shirt with some lipstick on it.
You're a fan of The American Office.
I love The American Office.
Any favorite episodes or moments?
Yeah. One of my favorite Ed Helms moments. He has some reactions that are enormous. Like, there's a scene where he and Oscar are out on an international business trip. Their international business trip is to Windsor, Canada. they get drunk together. He tries to hook Oscar up with two guys who are absolutely straight. And then they call Ed Helms's love interest on the phone. The next morning, Ed Helms is too drunk Andy's too drunk to remember they did it, and when he finds out they did it, his reaction is miraculous. Also, when Andy Bernard does the splits during a wedding, and he does it onto his keys, and he ruptures his scrotum, that's a good reaction. I wish I was there with you, and I wish I had been on the American Office.
Well,
missed chance on their part.
There's always a chance that
yes,
they could develop a time machine, and you could be the one person they send back. And the purpose of the time machine they decide is to try to get you an audition for the American Office.
Go to it. I'm excited to be part adjacent to this podcast.
Yes, please. Once again, please interrupt more boom times anytime, David.
And don't forget to watch David Gentoli and the tremendous cast of A Million Little Things on ABC coming this September
26.
26. That's coming right up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see the show.
Get your Kleenex or generic
diapers. Yes.
Right, because Kleenex is a brand, but there are generic Kleenex, but you can't call them Kleenex because they're not Kleenex.
Come back home and let yourself heal.
I love it.
I'm crying now.
Okay, gang. Go to it.
Okay, David, thank you very much, and have a very fun time in the Couve, where you are right now.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, and have fun putting this episode together. I look forward to listening.
Bye, Dave.
Bye, David.
Bye-bye.
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 That is it, everyone.
That's it.
Have a very nice time.
And the podcast is definitely over
it's
now.
It's done now, so.
There's nothing else that will happen.
Bye-bye. See you guys. It's definitely over right now. I'm just going to everyone, if you are listening still, come to check me out live because the podcast is not over. I will be in Irvine on August 29 and in Tulsa, Oklahoma, August 30 and September 1.
Tulsa.
How do you say it?
Tulsa.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Why do we say anything the way we do?
Well, Tulsa.
I'm going to have to measure my response next time.
Oh, bringing it back. I
have one too. So you mentioned that I have a friend from Idaho who also says the word measure,
yes,
like I do.
Measure. You say measure.
And he was so traumatized by you and my other friends, my wife, making fun of us and him about the way he said measure.
I was not making fun. I was making an observing.
Well, to the point where I texted him about this, and he was saying that he has actively forced himself to say it measure, and he doesn't let himself say it measure anymore, and he's been able to correct his pronunciation.
This makes me very sad.
So, Brandon W., good work, but I'm never going to change.
Never change.
I'm going to say measure for the rest of my life.
Brandon, because you have done this, I am now going to only say measure. Because if you are stopping it, I'm start. It's like the stock market. It's a zero-sum game. If you stop measuring, I begin measuring.
It's the yin and the yang.
What?
The yin and the yang. There can't be good if evil doesn't exist.
So So which one am I?
Well, you decide.
Yang. Right?
Yeah.
Time.